Welcome to episode 3, but also the first solo episode. You're hanging out with me. You're going to be going rogue with me for the next, I don't even fucking know how long, however long this takes. And we're going to kick off with a motherfucking bang, my rogue babies, because I had an experience last night and I am going to tell you everything. Okay. I matched with this guy. Yeah, it's going to be fucking bad. Okay. I matched with this guy on Hinge last week. So we matched, we chatted on Hinge for a little bit. He seemed cute. I was like, yeah, he said he'd been in an ethically non-monogamous relationship for 4 years with this girl who lived in Canada. So I was like, okay, he's down. Like, he's chill. Like, he's got a little bit of an understanding of what I'm doing. He's okay with Greg. He's like super comfortable with everything. And he's keen for just something casual. Like, he's just dating people casually. I was like, okay, cool. That's awesome. Like, things seem to align. We moved away from Hinge and we were chatting on Instagram, which was cool. And then he was like, hey, like, I think we should hang out. Like, I think we should meet from time to time. I think it would be cool. And I was like, yeah, totally down. And I never make plans for dates on the weekend. So he'd asked me kind of what I was doing over the weekend. And like, I was just like, oh, I'm with my partner. Because I only ever have dates during the week. That's kind of something that Greg and I have done because the weekends are kind of our time. So making plans and dates on the weekends means that we don't have time for each other, which is lame. So we generally have dates on the nights that we're not together during the week, which like it works perfectly. So I told him, hey, Wednesdays are really good for me. He was like, that's cool. So we're just going to hang out Wednesday night. And this is probably the second time I've ever met someone without doing coffee first. Because honestly, I just like, I've had a bit of a string of duds. I don't know why. I don't know why this seems to be happening, but I have just been like, I feel like I'm wasting my time. So I've gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to waste any more of my time. Like, let's just hang out at each other's house and we can do the get to know each other thing. And then if we want to continue to get to know each other, maybe with less clothes on, then we can do that. And that's a possibility. Like, it's not a promise. Like, and the only reason that I feel comfortable doing that is because I feel confident in my ability to be like, hey, like, I think I'm just going to leave it here for the night. Like, I'm going to go home now, and to stop or even to allow things to progress and develop and like fool around it a little bit and then be like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go home. Like, I feel totally comfortable and confident in doing that with being at someone's house or with someone being at my house. So I think that that's part of why I was like, I'm not going to do the coffee thing. Let's just skip that step and let's just hang out at each other's house. So we made plans for Wednesday night. Greg and I had been having a lot of conversations about it. Like, it's not like a fun experience for the other person when your partner goes on a date. Like, it just isn't. Like, it's a tricky thing. You do have a lot of conversations. Fears come up and insecurities come up. And so it had prompted some of those talks and Greg and I had had them. And they were actually really nice. Like, that is one good thing. When you have to have those challenging conversations or you talk about things that scare you, it is actually really nice. And that's why Greg and I often had like, man, being open is not about us serving our own selfish needs. It's actually serving the needs of the relationship, and it really builds the relationship, which is fucking cool. But we'd done all these conversations and like we'd really talked about it, and like we'd gone to this point where we were playing on the idea of like me hooking up with someone else and like what that meant, and like just like it was filthy and dirty and fucking amazing. And so we'd done the conversations on Wednesday. Like, I had gotten ready, like I'd sent videos and photos to Greg, like he had chosen what I was wearing. Like, so we were doing the whole thing. We were all in. I'd messaged old mate at 3 p.m. We were meant to be meeting. I was going to go to his place. Like, I'd said, hey, do you want to come to mine? Or do you want to host? And he was like, I'll host. That's great. At 3 p.m. I was like, hey, are we still on for 3 p.m.? He messaged me back immediately saying, yes, please, with multiple exclamation marks. So like, in my mind, there's no reason to suspect that it's not going to happen. And I went around to Greg's. I dropped my stuff off at his place and then went out for this date and drove to this guy's place. He had given me an address that was a street number, but it was an apartment complex. So I didn't have his unit number or apartment number. So I got to the building and I messaged him being like, hey, I'm here. That was at 5:03. At 5:07, he had not responded. But here's the thing. He was on Instagram. You know, on Instagram in the messages where you can see if someone's active, like you have to have that turned on. Like if you don't have that turned on, then you can't see if someone else is active and they can't see if you're active. But mine on my personal account is active. So I could see that when I messaged him, he had the little green light on his profile picture in the message, like in the DM section. And he just didn't open my message. He just like didn't read it. But it was green, and it was green for like a few minutes, and then it turned off green. So I'm like, I'm assuming he's seen my message come through, but maybe not. Like maybe I just timed it wrong where he was active and then he went off, and that was just when I'd messaged him. So I'd sent him another message. I'd sent him two messages after I'd been waiting there for like 6 or 7 minutes. And then I started texting Greg being like, hey, it's been like 10 minutes. I'm still waiting here. And poor Greg is like, fucking, I don't know what to tell you. He's like, maybe he just hasn't seen the message. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, have you called him? And I was like, I don't have his number. We were only chatting through Instagram. So like we'd gone from him straight to Instagram. And I hadn't gotten his number and he hadn't asked for mine. And so I was like, I can't fucking call him. So then I was like, all right, I'll text him or message him on Hinge to be like, hey, I don't know if you're on Instagram, but just letting you know, like, I'm here. Fucking, I'm waiting outside. Also, I should let you know that I'm wearing lingerie that you can see. Like, I have this unbuttoned loose linen shirt. I have high-waisted jeans. I have, like, this cool belt on. And under, like, through the unbuttoned shirt, you can see that I have this, like, strappy, like, crisscrossy fucking lacy lingerie on. And I'm like, it was almost to the point where I was like super self-conscious of walking around in public with it. So I was like, I'm not walking fucking far. And I'm standing outside like, oh my gosh, just fucking chilling, you know, hanging outside like this stranger's house waiting for him to message me back. 15 minutes go by and I'm like, I'm fucking leaving. He hadn't opened the messages. He hadn't responded. I hadn't even been left on scene. I'd just not been even opened. So I was like, I messaged Greg. I was like, I think I'm going to leave. And then I was like, fuck this. And I got pissed off and I got in the car and I drove back and I messaged Greg being like, okay, I'm leaving. And then Greg, I'm going to read you the message he sent me. Greg being the sweet, sweet, kind man that he is, he responded to me saying, okay. He responded to me. Okay, yeah, I said, I'm on my way home. And he said, I suppose you can drive back and, you know, see if you hear from him. If not, you know, like, I'll be here waiting for you. He actually said, I'll be waiting in bed without pants on, but. And my response to him was, fuck that. I've arrived to his place with my pussy served up on a platter. I'm not driving back there now. His loss. Word for word, that is the message that I sent Greg. And then never heard from him. He never even opened my messages. And then Greg was like, has he really like, did he, show me his like Hinge profile. We went into Hinge. He'd unmatched me in Hinge. He had a fucking, like, he was gone. He was no longer in my messages in Hinge. So he straight up ignored me. I had sent him another message on Instagram just being like, I'm leaving. And he still never opened that. So then this morning, I sent him a follow-up message and I didn't want to get pissy or angry. You know, I was still at the point where I was like, I'm just going to assume the best. Like, I'm just going to assume something came up or he just didn't want to see me and he's just being a pussy and doesn't want to tell me. So I responded to his story. He posted, oh, that was the other thing. He fucking posted on his Instagram, like the night that I was meant to be at his place, and I showed up and he fucking ignored me and I had to leave. And he posted on his Instagram like a couple hours later of his fucking dog. I was like, be a little more discreet, be subtle, dude, like, fuck. And so anyway, I responded to him this morning saying, or replied to his story. His story was him sharing the post that he put up last night after he'd fucking ghosted me, after I got stood up. I said, so what happened last night? And he just has left me, like, not even on scene. He's just not even opened it. He's deliberately, like, left my messages in his inbox unopened. He's just not even looking at them. And this is someone who anytime I messaged him on Instagram, he was online. Like, he's fucking always online. He works from home. He works for, like, a bank. And he's, like, this business analyst. And he's always fucking on Instagram. And now, all of a sudden, he's fucking gone. Just disappeared. no longer on the planet Earth, apparently, and hasn't been able to respond to me, has unmatched me from Hinge, and just won't talk to me. Like, I turned up at his house. He didn't let me in. He didn't respond to my messages, and I had to leave. I'm like, man, it wasn't hard. Like, I don't know what the problem was. I don't know how people can't just, like, I'd confirmed it 2 hours prior. I don't know why someone at that point couldn't, like, if you're going to ghost me then. Ghost me at the confirmation message. Don't ghost me when I've shown up, you know? I thought maybe it was deliberate. Like, maybe that was something that he got off on and, like, inviting people over and playing this little game where, like, once they were actually there, then he was like, ha ha ha, I'm not going to talk to you and I'm going to unmatch you from Hinge. Like, I'm like, maybe that's a thing he does. I don't know. But I kind of just suspect that he probably didn't really want to do it for whatever reason. And at 3 p.m. when I'd confirmed, he was like, I'll just say yes. Like, I'll just do it. It'll be fine. And then when it actually came time to, like, hang out, he was like, I don't really want to do it. And so then he just ghosted me when I was already there. And he felt so bad and so guilty that he could not even respond. He won't even open the messages. Like, he is so, so utterly mortified at his own behavior that he's not even confronting the messages. Like, people that ghost other people are just the biggest cowards. That's what it is. Someone who is such a coward that does not even have the integrity or the strength of character to message somebody, to just write a sentence being like, hey, sorry, I'm pulling the pin. Like, hey, I'm out. I don't want to see you. Fucking, I don't like you. anything is better than nothing. Honestly, I don't care what the fuck it is. So, like, here's the situation. And I think this is what happens with any kind of letdown, where somebody's behavior around the letdown or around the disappointment has been worse than the disappointment. So me showing up and him just, like, ignoring me and me just leaving after waiting there for 15 minutes standing outside with my fucking lingerie on show, like, ready to fucking do the deed. Like, that, I'm like, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the fact that he's not opening my messages and he unmatched me on Hinge, that's the worst bit. That's the bit that tells me more about him as a human being than anything else. Like, okay, no. Him ignoring me when I'm standing outside his house, that's pretty fucking bad. Like, that, as far as, like, humans go, like, that's low. But then, like, the ignoring thing, I'm like, man. And it's like, it's not like you can accidentally ignore someone. It's not like you can be like, oh, I didn't get your message. Sorry. I'm like, no, you fucking have chosen. Like, you see it sitting in your inbox. It's sitting in there and you're just looking at it. it blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. So the thing with ghosting is, like, just say something, anything. I don't care. Be like, hey, even if it's, I don't want to ghost you, so I'm just going to let you know I'm not keen. Like that. Admit it. It's like, look, I almost want to ghost you, but I'm not going to be that person. So I'm just letting you know, like, I'm not down. I'm not into it. I'm not keen. I'm not free. I'm busy. I'm preoccupied. I'm stressed out. Whatever. Say something. Like, I used to always say to people that I'd met when I'd gone to grab coffee or hung out or whatever, a first date, some kind of first meeting, I'd message them afterwards and be like, hey, it was really cool hanging out. Thanks for buying me coffee. Thanks for whatever. Thanks for meeting up. I just see us as friends. And I don't really see anything more coming out of it. So I hope that's cool. And that'd always be like, actually, it was always nice. Like, you'd get a lot of messages being like, oh, thank you. Like, that's all I really needed to know. Like, I appreciate the message. But yeah, I'd always pull the, like, I just see us being friends. And people would get it. People would be like, yeah, okay, cool. I did have one person that I sent that message to. And I was like, yeah, I just see us as friends. And then his response was like, oh, well, duh, of course you see us as friends because I wasn't even flirting. Why would I flirt on the first date? I was like, well, buddy, maybe you should have. Maybe that would have given you a better chance because I was not into it. But honestly, if he'd tried flirting, I would have been even more not into it. I was just not into that guy, full stop. And yeah, he's tried to make it out like it was because he wasn't being flirty and, like, making a move, being the guy. I was like, I think it was you. I don't think it was the way you were. It was just you. You weren't right for me. I'm sorry. But yeah, always send something, say something, you know, like, it's not hard. Get, like, and here's the thing. it's not that you're that concerned about how they're going to receive it. You're worried about how they're going to see you and if they're not going to like you because of it and if they're going to think that you're an asshole or whatever it is. It's your concern about how someone else perceives you and how they're going to take the message. Like, that's what it is. So, like, let me tell you, I have another situation right now. I did a video for a product and they didn't pay me. They just sent me a product. Like, they just sent it to me for free. They asked me to do a little testing and give them some feedback, and I did. And they also asked me for a testimonial, and I did. And what the testimonial was about like the purpose of it. So not the actual product, but the purpose that it serves, because I still believe in that. And it's very like good for, it was specifically to training. But I also got a lot of really negative feedback about the product. It was sent to me personally, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what you want me to do with this. Like, I didn't make the product. It's not my product. Like, I'm not affiliated. Like, I've never been paid for it. You know, like, people are just making these assumptions that, like, I was some kind of ambassador or, like, sponsored by them or something. And now I'm like, okay, I'm not really down for this product anymore. Only because of the negative, backlash that I got about people being pissed off with the product, people being pissed off with the service, da, 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 da. And like, even I'd had similar experiences with some of the things with this product, and I'd sent it back to them being like, hey, this is my feedback. But they are now using my testimonial as part of their advertising and their marketing on social media. And I keep on fucking scrolling through social media and seeing these fucking ads with me in it. And I'm like, God damn it. But I don't want to send them a message because I'm scared of having to say something mean about them and giving them critical feedback and saying like, I don't want this, and kind of being in a position where I said that I did want to do it. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm down to help you guys out, and you guys are going to give me some product for free, and like, that's cool, I can do that for you. And now I'm like, they didn't actually really ask me if they could use it for social media. They said it was going to go on their website. They haven't specifically said, hey, we're doing this new advertising campaign and we're going to use your video. Like, they haven't really notified, they've just done it. And like, the thing that stops me from emailing them is my fear around how they're going to react. Not about the situation, not an objective, like, hey, this is the scenario, and like, this is what we agreed on, and this is not what we agreed on, and this is what you've done, and I'm not there for it. So it's exactly the same thing with ghosting. We're not afraid of, like, it's not about saving the other person's feelings. It's actually about saving our own feelings and not making ourselves uncomfortable. That's what we're so afraid of. We're so afraid of feeling that discomfort and that fear and that worry and that anxiety of telling someone something they might not like and what they will think and how they might react to us. That's the scary bit. It's about preserving ourselves. It's literally about self-preservation, and that's why we ghost, because we don't want to look bad. But do you know what fucking looks bad? Not messaging someone. Ghosting is way worse than saying I'm not into you. Isn't that so funny? Like, the thing that we're so afraid to do because of the backlash is actually better than not doing that thing, because the alternative, the ghosting, the not messaging, that's fucking way worse. Like, hands up if you want to be ghosted. Or hands up if you just want to be told that someone doesn't want to see you. Like, you know, like, if you put yourself on the other side, if you put yourself in the other person's shoes, it's like, man, I want to just be told. Tell me the fucking, like, just give it to me straight, motherfucker. Isn't that just like the weirdest thing? Okay, and here's the other thing that was like, I was bummed about last night. I was all pumped up because sexually, I'm feeling really confident at the moment. And I think it's something that happens when you've been with someone long term. Like, I've been with Greg for a year, like, I feel really comfortable with him sexually. And so I'm almost like, I feel like I have these new skills. Like, I just feel like a fucking badass. And so I want to go and like explore that and express that with other people, because I've definitely always been much more passive in the bedroom and more submissive and let other people take the lead. And it's funny because I've really started to like recognize this dissatisfaction with the partners that I've had in the past, whether they've been casual or more serious. And a lot of it has come because I've just been so like, oh, you just do what you want and it's about you and like, you just do that. And I've never taken ownership of my own pleasure, and I've never taken ownership of what I want to fucking do. So I went into this like hookup being like, all right, buddy, it's fucking on. Like, I rocked up and like, you know, I had the fucking lingerie. I brought toys. And I told him, I was like, I'm bringing my toys. And he was like, cool, bring whatever you want. I'm down. And so I had my bag, I had toys, I had fucking lube, I had condoms. I was so ready. I was just going to whip everything out. Like, I was just excited to try and take the lead and like experiment a little bit and like just see where the night goes. And, you know, like I said, like I might have met him and been like, I'm not into you at all. Like, and maybe I would have had a drink or like chatted and then be like, hey, look, I think I'm going to like go home. Like, I hope that's cool. Like, I don't want things to go further right now. And just play the card of like, no, I don't really want to go any further tonight. Like, you know, that's a great card to play if you're like wanting to try and pull the pin. But yeah, and like going in and having like a sexual experience when you're feeling confident is such a good thing to do. And like I was in this place where I was like, I kind of just want to try a few things and experiment and like just, you know, like I guess put myself out there a little bit in ways that I hadn't done previously with like casual hookups or with whatever. So like that pissed me off. I was like, I'd get up, you know, I think that's the worst part of like being let down with a date. It's not the actual date. It's all the things that you've done before. So like I'd done my hair, I'd put a little makeup on, I'd like chosen my outfit. Like I'd taken time to do those things. I'd even my day, like my schedule for the day, like I'd made sure that I wasn't stressed out. I'd made sure that like everything with work was done and that by this certain time, like I was able to shower and like blow dry my hair. And like, that is a fucking process. So that is the bigger annoyance than the guy fucking like just being a pain in the ass, just being a straight up cunt. Like that whole lead up, that's part of why it's so annoying. And that was the thing with it sexually as well. I was like, I was really excited to do some of these things and like try being my more confident self. And then he fucking bailed. Like, come on, man. Come on. So yeah. So here's the thing with being confident sexually. Confidence is not something that you feel before you try something new, okay? You don't suddenly feel confident or sexy or like you're a fucking like porn star who can give the best blowjobs and ride fucking cock like a champion. Like, you don't feel like that and then do those things. You have to do those things being scared as shit and absolutely terrified with your heart racing and feeling like you're shaking and you can't fucking hold anything, let alone put a cock somewhere near you. Like, you have to be this podcast is just hilarious right now. You have to be mortified and just do it anyway. That is where you build confidence. And that is true for anything that you do. You will never, ever feel confident before you take the risk and do the thing. You will only ever do the thing, try it out, test it, throw yourself in the deep end, just experiment, just try something new that you do, something you've never done before. You will only ever do that first, learn from it, and then feel confident with it. And the learning process can often be, I fucked it up. Like, it literally could be like, oh, I really butchered that. Like, that was not the way I wanted it to go. And so then the learning process is not, oh, I don't feel confident. The learning process is actually, I fucked that up. Next time I do it, I'm going to do it like this. And do you know what that means? You're going to fucking do it better. Okay, so then suddenly you're kind of in this like, I'm gonna fail better, really, is what you're doing, right? Like, we're learning from fucking shit up. Like, that's the best way to build confidence. And then what's really great is that your confidence comes from a place of, I'm okay fucking up. That's what confidence is. It's not, I'm gonna be great and I'm gonna nail this and it's gonna be fucking awesome and I'm gonna blow this person's mind. Confidence is, I'm gonna try, I might fuck up, but that's okay. Hey, we're probably all going to live. We're probably all going to be okay. Somebody's probably fucked up worse than me before. So that's chill. So confidence in sex comes from the willingness to try and fuck up and look like an idiot. Like that is confidence. You want to talk about confidence in the bedroom. It's just trying something and being okay with looking like an idiot. I think people have this perception that sex should be shiny and sparkly and hot and like in the movies or like on porn. And it's just like, oh my God, like you no longer talk like normal people. It's either like really sexy that it's all just like, oh my God, I can't even like form a fucking sentence. That is all bullshit. That is all performance. You could be having your fucking brains fucked out and still be able to put together a sentence. Talk to any female. Any female can do that. Any female can be having like something absolutely wild happening to her and just be like able to talk normally. Like right now, I could be being fucking finger banged and you guys wouldn't even know it because you can just form sentences. You can just talk. Like that's a different part of your brain, right? So I think the problem with sex sometimes is that we go in going like, I can't fuck it up. Like it needs to be a certain way. It needs to look a certain way. It needs to feel a certain way. It needs to sound a certain way. And that's where we get performing. And we put on this like, I guess it's this front of, hey, like I want to look like the way I think sex looks like. And that's what is the barrier to then try new things. Because if you have to look perfect and you have to look the way you think sex looks, then you can never try anything new because you're never willing to not look like that, right? Like you're never willing to look like an idiot. You're never willing to make a mess. You're never willing to fuck up. You're never willing to have to laugh about something while you're having sex. Like you should be able to do that. You should be relaxed and you should be able to like have a joke and you should be able to fucking do something where it doesn't work. And it's like, it's okay. It is all right. And it's okay to relax about that and not freak out that the other person's not going to think that you're doing sex right. Like, there is no right way to do sex. And let me tell you, doing sex like you see in the movies or doing sex like you see on porn is not what sex looks like. Sex is messy. It's funny. There are going to be sounds and noises and your body is going to do things that you're like, I really wish nobody had to see that. Sex is so human, you know, like sex should be exposing your humanity on such a great degree. Like that's what makes sex so magical. Like that's why we connect with sex, because you have to be vulnerable. And I think, you know, sometimes we are so afraid of vulnerability because we don't want to look weak or weird or different. We want to be like other people are. We want to be accepted and we want to be loved and we want people to think that we're good at something. But the fact is that vulnerability is actually an expression of courage. Like the ability to be open and look like an idiot and be willing to try something, willing to make a mess, willing to laugh about something that happens while you're having sex actually takes so much courage. And one step further to talk and ask for something or say, I want to try this, or like, hey, can I do this? Or can you do this? Like that is another step. And that is another like really important part of sex, but also something that requires so much courage and strength and like, and action in the face of fear, you know, like that fear of fucking up and that fear of looking like an idiot, like taking action in the face of that is hard. And that's where you will build confidence. So that's my rant on confidence with sex. You're not going to fucking feel confident. You're going to have to try things. You're going to have to fuck shit up, and it's okay. You know what? It's kind of nice if you're doing it with someone casual. Like I think that's what was part of it for me last night. I was like, I don't even fucking know this guy. It's perfect. I can hook up. It can be casual. I might not ever have to see him again. And then I've learned something. I've learned something about how I want to do things in the bedroom. I might even learn something from him, and I might like take it back to fucking Greg and be like, oh my God, I learned this thing from this guy. A lot of the time what happens is I figure out what I don't want to do and what I don't like. And I think that's just as valuable when you try things, or like someone tries things with you, or you hook up with someone who does things differently. You're like, oh fuck, I don't like that. And when I say that I've been having some duds with my dates, like that has been what it is. Like I've been hooking up with some guys and I'm just like, ah, that is not what I want. And what's great for Greg is I'm like, baby, you're fucking amazing. I come crawling back to Greg because I'm like, oh, buddy, you got it sorted out. Like these other guys, they have not got a clue. Like it is scary. So I feel blessed. I feel lucky. Like, praise the Lord that I met someone like Greg, because the shit that's out there, like I think Greg kind of likes it. I reckon he gets off on it. That every time I go and see someone, I'm like, oh baby, it was bad. He's like, yes, fuck yes. It's just this big fucking ego boost for Greg. That's really what this open relationship has been. This is the way it served him so far. Oh my God. It's kind of the truth. Like whenever we go on dates or see other people, the experience that we've both had is that we come back to each other going, oh my God, you are so different to everybody else. I'm so into you. Like, I feel like I have a crush on Greg all over again when I've seen someone else, because they just don't compare. Like, you know, I think the problem that a lot of people, and this is a generalization, okay, this is a very broad generalization, it's not true for everyone, but I think when we talk about monogamy and we talk about people who have committed infidelity, people who've cheated, there is a lot of talk about the grass being greener, you know, and that temptation that you're not allowed to do it. You're not supposed to go and see what that grass looks like, you know, like you're not meant to do that. That's breaking the rules. And I think that's part of the temptation. Unfortunately, it makes it even more, it makes it even more interesting, right? So when you're open and you're like, hey, maybe the grass is greener, you actually can explore that. You actually can go and fucking check out that grass. You can go and fuck that grass. And what's really cool is that you have this experience of like, oh, that grass is all right. But you know what? I fucking love my grass. My grass is excellent. And so I think where monogamy can become problematic is that you have enough incidences of feeling like, hey, maybe the grass is a little greener over there. Hey, that's interesting. I kind of like that backyard right there. You have enough of those instances with other things happening in the relationship. So resentment or contempt or something else just under the hood of that relationship. You know, you don't generally see infidelity without a relationship that is problematic. But you have enough instances of temptation or being interested in the fucking grass on the other side of the fence. And it's like, man, if at the beginning you could have gone and tested out that grass, you would probably still be totally madly in love with your partner. But now you've gotten to a point where there's problems in the relationship and you're not meant to go and test out that other grass. And then you, I don't know, at some point fucking break the rules and suddenly you've got this secret affair going on. Or maybe it's not a secret, you tell your partner, but that relationship has to end, or the cheating, the infidelity, the affair has to end. I find that an interesting element of monogamy, where I think the boundaries are there to make us feel safe and feel secure and create imaginary walls around us to protect the relationship. But what it actually does is it makes us feel confined and constricted. And without freedom, we can't actually choose to be or love the person that we want to be with and love. And when we don't have those restrictions and someone chooses to be with you and chooses to love you when they could be with anybody else because there's no restriction, that's the thing that I've experienced, and that's the fucking thing that I love. Like, I'm really enjoying that. And something that Greg tells me a lot is he's like, I choose you. Like, I deliberately choose you. At no point have I felt like I can't, like, at no point have I felt forced. Like, we are not in a relationship and we're not together just by default. We're together because we can be with anybody, but we've chosen that we want to be with each other. I think that's the really powerful element of being in an open relationship. And look, it's not for everybody. And I'm not a fucking expert on this stuff. You know, like, this is my first open relationship. Like, I 100% do not take advice from me. But this is what I've experienced. Suddenly, we choose to be with each other. And this can still exist with monogamy. This can exist in any form of relationship. But monogamy is often the default setting, right? We're monogamous by default because society expects that of us. So it's built around monogamy. We're built around marriage. We're built around this kind of relationship escalator that we step on, where we meet someone, we date them, we define the relationship, we move in together, we get engaged, we get married, we have kids, we buy a house, we retire together, and then we fucking die together. That's the relationship escalator. And those milestones are such significant markers of success. Like, outwardly, you know, not actual markers of success, but it's what we I think aspire to do, because it's what we think are the hallmarks of success and a good relationship, quote unquote, good relationship. You know, I think that's what it looks like on the outside. But the reality is that in monogamy, if you're not choosing to be with each other every day and you're only together because you're fucking just, you're in a relationship and that's just the title and you just stay together because, then that's a problem. So I think the opportunity that you have in an open relationship to continue to choose each other because you've got the opportunity to explore. Yes, there's a risk, but with risk comes reward. You know, the greater the risk, the greater the reward can often be. And that's where I'm at. Okay. You guys asked me a bunch of questions. And not a bunch of questions. You guys told me things that you wanted me to talk about in Instagram. And like a lot of it was sex and relationships. And obviously, that's the path that I'm going down right now. I'm looking at them right now. And you guys want me to talk about nutrition. You guys want me to talk about periods. You want me to talk about binge eating. You want me to talk about birth control, tracking your cycle, fertility windows. You want me to talk about a healthy mindset around exercise and nutrition. You want me to talk about how to accept gaining weight, which is cool. I love that. You want to talk about cycles and training. You want to talk about going from intermediate to RX, how to become competitive at CrossFit. You want me to talk about specifically ideas around bulking, maintenance, shredding with nutrition. You want me to talk about being single and how there's this massive stigma about not having a partner. You want me to talk about sex toys and solo techniques. Fucking right on. My favorite life hacks. I don't know if I have, yeah, I have some life hacks. Yeah, you guys want me to talk about a few things. Here's something that I think I've talked about a little bit today. How to not give a flying fuck about what others think/say. And how you built your confidence. Let's say that is the theme for today's podcast. The sexy version of it. The sexy version of building confidence. But I hope that this can apply to other things in your life, right? I think there's this idea that we have to feel confident to do things. And that's fucking bullshit. I mean, even the whole idea of confidence, it's just a fucking word. Confidence is a myth. Confidence is this made-up term to express or explain somebody's personality or a trait about somebody or somebody's ability to be forward or be loud or be extroverted or whatever. It's just another fucking word, right? Like the human language is just a bunch of words that never made sense until we made them make sense. They didn't exist before humans existed. But yeah, I think the idea that we have to feel a certain way, we have to feel confident, we have to build that confidence in order to do the things that we want to do. Here's my take on it. With regards to confidence, and let's talk about confidence with regards to like body confidence, right? Like in terms of building confidence with your body, you don't feel good about your body and love every fucking inch of your skin and adore yourself before you go out and live your life. Because if you do that, and if you hold yourself back and you are so inhibited because of this body that you've got, and it's the one body that you get, like you don't get another body. Like, what does that do for you? What does that do for your life? Because I would much rather live my fucking life and have people think that I look like, I don't even know what, look like in my brain, the worst version that people could think I look like, right? Like it's like, however someone could perceive me, to me, that would be the worst possible way to be perceived. Like, let's say I'm going to go out and do things and people are going to think that of me. I would rather have people think whatever the fuck they want to think about me than to not do what I want to do with my life. Imagine getting to your last day of life and not having done some of the things that you wanted to do because of how you felt about how you looked. Not even about how you looked, how you felt about how you looked. That is the thing with body confidence. It's not actually about how we look, it's how we feel about it. It is how we feel about it. Our feelings have so much control in our life. It is fucking wild. The way that our feelings direct us and determine our behavior and determine our thoughts and create these results that we have in our life. You know, it's like, if I'm afraid of wearing a bikini, I'm not going to wear a bikini. I'm not going to buy things that I think are cute for myself. I'm probably not going to go to the beach. I'm going to avoid swimming with people. I'm probably not even going to go on tropical holidays. I'm going to avoid like having my partner see me naked. Like, if I'm worried about how I look in a bikini, there are so many other things I'm also worried about with regards to my body. And it's how I feel about it. And then suddenly those feelings change my behavior. And then I've never been put in a position where I just have to deal with it. You know, like, so you know what I said, where I was saying, like, you don't get confident and then you do something, like you do something and then you build the confidence. So it's like, I've only ever, if I've been afraid to be in a bikini, like, I only ever do things where I cannot be in a bikini. So I've only ever continued to hide myself. And therefore, I've only ever kind of reinforced the fears and the thoughts and the feelings. I've never challenged them, right? I've only ever let them stare me in the direction that those fears want to stare me. And the only way to change them is to change the behavior or to change the thoughts. So, when we think of the way that our brains work, a really cool way to understand it is that we have these feedback loops. And the feedback loop will begin with our thoughts. Our thoughts create our feelings, and then our feelings create our behavior, and then our behavior create our results. All right, so the behavior creates results, which essentially gives us evidence for our thoughts. So you can have a negative feedback loop, and that negative feedback loop with regards to your body is like, the thought is, I don't like the way I look in a bikini. And the feeling is, I feel like I want to hide. Like, I feel like no one should see me in a bikini. I feel like I have low self-esteem, or I feel like I'm lacking confidence. And then the behavior is, okay, well, if I'm lacking confidence, then I should cover up. I need to hide myself. No one should see me like this. Like, I'm just going to act in a non-confident way. And then the behavior or the result is that I always behave as an unconfident person or as someone who hides their body because they're afraid of other people seeing them and judging them. And then that feeds into the thoughts of like, no one should see me like this. And so suddenly you're in this loop, right? And I don't think this is really the best example. I have other examples with regards to like binge eating, which I'll tell you guys about on another episode. But these thoughts and these loops, like, they just, they're everywhere. Like, we have so many of these. And like, I had one with training. So for example, with training, I was always like, I'm the strong girl. I'm not super fit. And I still struggle with this. It's like, this narrative is so strong. It's just insane. I still struggle with the thoughts of like, oh, I'm just like not that fit, but like, I'm super strong. Like, I have no problem getting strong. And to a degree, it's true. Like, to a degree, just like genetically, like I'm a fucking strong, I'm a solid motherfucking human being. And I can pick up heavy things, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So, you know, it's like, I'm strong. But I really battle with this idea of like, I'm not a very fit person. Like, I've just never been fit. And I think it's because I compare myself to other people. I'm like, oh my God, other girls are so fucking fit and I'm just not like them. So anyway, I had this narrative that I was strong, but not fit. And so that was the thought. And then the feeling was, oh, I'm bad at doing cardio. Like, I'm bad at doing metabolic conditioning workouts. So anytime I did weightlifting, I'm like, oh, I'm good at weightlifting because I'm a strong girl. So I'd go hard with the weightlifting. I'd be like, yeah, fucking put on another 5 kilos. Fuck yeah, let's just do a 1RM today, guys. Yeah, you want to press? You want to go bench? Like, let's just go and lift the shit. And then I would come to the Metcon and I'd be like, oh, I'm so tired from lifting. Oh, I'm so bad at metabolic conditioning. Oh, I'm so unfit. And I would fucking sandbag workouts, like, not deliberately, it was more subconscious, but I would have this self-talk in my head that when I was training, I'm like, I'm so bad at this. Like, you were so unfit. You were so bad at this. Like, you were breathing so heavy. Like, you're stopping so many times. Like, other people aren't stopping. Look at them go. Like, they're not hurting as much as you. You're hurting way more than them. Like, you're just like confirming like how unfit you are. And so I'd have these thoughts in my head of like, I'm strong, but I'm not fit. I'm strong, but I'm not fit. And everything would reinforce that thought. And obviously the behavior is that I would not push that hard in Metcons. Or in some cases, I would just not do the Metcon. Like, for a long time when I was training alone, this was before I had a training partner, so it would have been like 5 or 6 years ago now. When I was training alone, I would often get through all the lifting and then be like, oh, I don't really feel like doing the Metcon. Like, I don't really feel like doing the actual WOD. And I would skip it. And then, do you know the results that you get when you skip the metabolic conditioning or you don't push hard in the metabolic conditioning? Do you know what the results are? You're not fucking fit. And do you know what the results are when you push really hard in lifting and you do the lifting every single day and you keep showing up for the weightlifting stuff? You get fucking strong. So this narrative that I was super attached to, like with my self-talk and my brain and these thoughts, were creating these feelings, and the feelings was like playing out to the behavior, and the behavior was providing evidence in these results that would continue to generate the same thoughts. And so the intervention that had to happen for me is I had to stop the language. I had to stop the self-talk, and I had to realize objectively what I was actually fucking doing with my behavior. And so now, if anything, I skip the lifting and I do the Metcon. And now, like, I'm doing triathlons because I know that I need to get fit, and I want to get fit, and I want to push myself, and I want to do the long, hard, slow fucking aerobic stuff because that's where I want to get better. And funnily enough, now I can run for a really long time. I can ride for a long time. I'll go swimming. Like, I enjoy fucking burpees. It's bananas. But, like, I'll actually go and do burpees. I'm like, oh, I don't mind this so much anymore because I've gotten good at that stuff, because I've exposed myself to a stimulus that's created an adaptation in my body. There is no reason your body cannot adapt to different things. Like me being strong, like, yeah, maybe I'm genetically like predispositioned to actually build muscle and be stronger than a lot of other girls. Like, I've got fucking shoulders that were built for, like, you know, like a fucking Samoan dude. Like, you know, my shoulders are massive. But it does not mean that I do not have the ability to make my body adapt to a conditioning that will create some fucking phenomenal aerobic engine, like a phenomenal aerobic engine. But I just had to talk myself out of it. So the language had to change. I had to change the language, and I had to change the behavior. And what eventually happened is that when I changed my thoughts and my behavior, the feeling changed. And I no longer felt like I was not fit. I no longer felt like I was only a strong girl. And yes, I might not be perfect. Like, I'm still, you know, working through a lot of that stuff. And I'm still, it's still something that I'm quite conscious of. You know, like, it's not something that I've gone to a point where it's like, oh, it's automatic. I don't worry about it. I don't notice it. I just, like, I do the Metcons and it's totally fine. I really enjoy them. It's like, no, I'm not at that point. I don't know if I ever will be. But at least I'm no longer stuck in that place where my thoughts are just the same fucking broken record going all around and around. And you know, that could be for you with how you feel about your body. Like, there are these thoughts that you're probably listening to that you've never talked back to. And that applies to what you're doing in the bedroom, how you feel about your performance, how you feel about your body. That applies to whether you wear certain things or you don't. That applies to how you train. The thoughts that we have in our brain, we're really good at criticizing ourselves, at doubting ourselves, and essentially doing these things to keep ourselves in our comfort zone. But we can talk back to those thoughts, because here's the fucking crazy thing. We get to choose what we think. We are in full control of our thoughts. We get to think whatever the fuck we want to think. But we tend to just listen to thoughts. And the thoughts that are automated by our brain are thoughts that want to keep us in our comfort zone, because the brain is built for efficiency. So the brain likes neurological pathways where there's a phrase that say neurons that fire together wire together, right? So the patterns in our brain that are constantly repeated get really strong. So if we have thoughts, or we have feelings that we tell ourselves, or words, or a voice in our head that says the same thing, it's because those connections are very strong. And so the brain, in order to keep those, that efficiency, we don't want to make new patterns. The brain is not very good at, like, overcoming a really strong pattern. The brain wants to keep the strong pattern because it's already efficient at it. Like, that's what it's already really good at. So when you're trying to think new things, you're trying to do something new, of course it's going to be difficult, because your brain has to, one, not continue to strengthen one connection that's already strong. So it has to let that weaken, but it also has to go about making a new connection. It has to start firing new neurons together, and wiring new neurons, and creating these new neurological pathways in the brain. So it's like this simultaneous action of, like, hey, let something weaken and start to begin to strengthen something totally new. So it takes time, right? But yeah, the thing is like, you can create new patterns, and the brain will adapt, and the body will also adapt, and we can have these interventions that begin with our thoughts, because if you start to talk back to that voice, and instead of just listening and taking it as if it's fact and thinking that your thoughts are the reality of the world, and recognize that, hey, your thoughts are just this subjective version of the world. They're fucking biased, you know? Your thoughts are so fucking biased. and often in the worst way. You know, your thoughts are just such a projection of your fears. It's not even funny. It is not even funny. All of your inner, deepest, most insecurities, that is where that motherfucking voice is coming from. And it's going to bring up the worst possible shit ever because it's going to try and keep you in your comfort zone. It doesn't want you to go out there into the world, into that big, scary world where the threats are, where you're possibly at danger, even though there aren't really any more threats anymore, right? Like, not anymore. Back in the caveman times, maybe. Maybe it was functional. But now, no. Fucking going to the beach in a bikini? Oh my God, no. You're not in any harm. So talking back to that voice is really important. And sometimes that just means thinking. Like, hey, I don't want to do that every time this comes up. In training, I had a moment and I remember it really well. It was burpee pull-ups. Burpee pull-ups, man. That movement, Jesus. Burpee pull-ups are a movement that has a lot of transitionary positions. When I say transitionary positions, I mean a lot of opportunities to fucking rest. So that movement that can be done quite quickly can get very slow if you take advantage of those opportunities to rest, the transitions. So I remember doing burpee pull-ups and I remember getting out of breath and being like, oh, my heart rate's going really fast. And that voice was starting to creep in of like, yeah, you suck. Yeah, you're pretty unfit. You're barely bad at these. Like, these are not a great movement for you, you know? And it's just like this, like, identity confirmation of like, yeah, this is not something you're good at. You know, it's like, it's not even like, oh, you suck. It's like, oh yeah, this is one of those things you're not good at. And it's just like, oh yeah, you just accept that. Like, oh yeah, I'm not very good at these. So like, you know, that's why I'm bad at them. That's why I'm slow. It's like, no, that's fucking bullshit. And I just remember having this moment of like, are you going to slow down every time your heart rate gets high or your breathing rate gets high? Is that what you're going to do? Like, because if you do that, you will never get better. Like, if you slow down every time your breathing cycle increases, you're never going to get intensity. You're never going to get better because you have to have your fucking breathing rate increase when you push. And you have to push to get better. And I just remember that moment of like, man, if I slow down every time this happens, there's going to be a new pattern and I'm going to strengthen that pattern. And that's not the pattern. That's not the fucking neuron that I want to strengthen. Strengthen the neurological pathway, fucking the things in the brain, the patterns. That's not the one that I want to strengthen. I'm going to keep going and I'm going to lean into this discomfort and I'm going to lean into that voice that says, you're not very good at this. And I'm going to go, okay, well, I don't really need that thought right now because right now I just need to focus on like continuing to move. That thought, it's not fucking helpful. Okay, thanks buddy, but no thanks. I'm just going to focus on the task at hand and I'm just going to keep moving. And when I feel my heart rate increase and when I feel my breathing rate increase, I'm going to see how long I can keep moving. Because fuck, when you do that, you're going to realize that you can do so much more. When you learn to lean into the discomfort, you're going to realize that your capacity is way beyond what you think it is. And it's something that like, you know, you go and listen to some of those post interviews from the games or from like the open events. I remember listening to Sam Briggs talking about, it was a rowing workout. I think it might've been like rowing and Tosaba, rowing and I think it might've been like the rowing and dumbbell hang power clean and push jerk or whatever it is, shoulder to overhead. One of those workouts. It fucking had rowing in it, okay? And she was talking in the interview and she was like, yeah, I just was trying to lean into that hurt. I was trying to lean into the discomfort. And what went off in my brain was the athletes that are really fucking good, the games athletes. It's not that they're more gifted. It's not that they find it easier. It's not that they find that it's not as like hard for them to breathe. It's that they're fucking willing to lean into it more. Like they are willing to tolerate so much more discomfort. It's not that they're hurting less than anybody else. It's that they're willing to hurt so much more. And that's why they get fitter because they go to that place every time they train. They lean into it and they let themselves be okay with being uncomfortable. And when you do that, your body adapts because the stimulus is so much greater, right? The stress applied to your body is phenomenal. And then suddenly with that intensity, you create adaptation and you create change and your work capacity increases. Like there's no way to avoid it, essentially. You know, that's when the science takes over and it's like biologically, like you're going to get better. So if you can mentally learn to lean into the discomfort, you will physiologically adapt in the ways that you want to adapt. And it's the same thing with anything that you need confidence in. You have to lean into the discomfort. You have to know that the voice is probably going to tell you not to do it. The voice is going to tell you all the reasons why you shouldn't, the type of person that you think you are, and the reasons that you should just stay safe and just stay in your comfort zone and just continue to do the things you've always done. But you can still do whatever you want to do, even with those thoughts present. So it's not a matter of getting rid of those thoughts. It's a matter of hearing them and going, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I see you. I hear you. I know the doubts. I hear the anxiety. I can fucking feel it. But I've decided that for me right now, I want to do this because I want to be the type of person that does this. I want to be the type of person that lives their fucking life. I want to be the type of person that goes out to the beach and is confident and feels good in their bikini and enjoys being at the motherfucking beach. I want to be the type of person that fucking rides dick like a champ. I don't give a fuck what my belly looks like. I don't care what I think he sees. It's not relevant, man. Like, I want to be the type of person that lives their life and does these things in spite of the doubt and in spite of the fear and in spite of potentially fucking it up. That is when you will get the things that you want. That is when you will build confidence. That is when you get to actually be the type of person that you want to be and you stop holding yourself back. So intervene at the thoughts. Intervene at the voice that you hear. Start talking back to it, you know? Stop listening to it. Start talking back to it. I'm fucking wrapping it up right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's us. That is the first solo motherfucking podcast. I think the things to come is, one, I'm going to try and figure out how to film this. We have cameras that we've tried filming, but they only have a 30-minute filming limit, so I'm going to figure out the filming situation and get this up on iTunes. Fucking iTunes. No, YouTube. But I think what it might be is it might be like I'll set up my laptop and just film it straight from there and put it on YouTube Live or something. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do something. I'll put Greg on the project because his brain is wired for that kind of stuff. Mine is not. What else is coming? I want to give like sex tips. And I know that we just talked about confidence. And I think that, I mean, that's probably the most important thing that you can do. Be confident, be enthusiastic, and fucking just love it. But I do want to give you some practical stuff that is very much geared towards sex and doing the sex thing and things like fucking oral sex and hand sex. All that fun stuff, you know, like just playing. Dirty talk. Oh my God, I would love to talk about dirty talk. So I do want to get into some of those things. And I'm not going to claim that I'm the fucking champion and I'm the best at it. But I'm a coach and I'm someone who likes to have sex. And you put those two things together and I'm someone that can probably give you some tangible feedback or cues to oh God, to not only make your squat better, to make your fucking blowjobs better. So I think some of that is going to come at some point because I'm going to get on some kind of rant or tangent that just goes in that direction. All right. You're the best. My rogue babies. I fucking love that you guys are listening to this. And I will talk to you fucking soon.